Mayfly time is the pinnacle for most brown trout anglers, and we're pleased to announce our next Ireland on the Fly Masterclass is focusing on mayfly tactics with international angler, guide and renowned fly tyer Jackie Mahon.
On Thursday the 25th of April at 8 p.m, Jackie will be discussing how to make the most of the conditions, the best flies and methods to use, as well as giving his tips and insights from a lifetime of experience.
So, to join us for this masterclass on Thursday 25th of April, just go to www.irelandonthefly.com/masterclass. Tickets cost €10 and all attendees will get a copy of Jackie's notes as well as access to the recording of the webinar afterwards.
And stay tuned for our masterclasses throughout 2024, covering salmon, rivers, lochs, streamers, lures, dries, everything to make you a better salmon or trout fly angler, helping you to catch more this year and to learn from the best. For more information, email us on info@irelandonthefly.com.
Hello and welcome to the Ireland on the Fly podcast about the people and places of fly fishing in Ireland. With restrictions starting to ease, many of us are making plans or have been getting out onto our local rivers or waters where possible. And if you're still not able to, well, at least there's fly tying videos and podcasts like this one to keep you entertained for the meantime. On this week's episode, I speak to Ronan Crean, a Roundstone native who became so obsessed with the brown trout fishing in New Zealand that he finally made the jump and moved there full time, where he is now a highly successful guide. Ronan speaks about his love of fly fishing in New Zealand, as well as the sheer size of the brown trout and how to catch them. It's a fascinating insight into fly fishing that many of us can only dream about.
From Roundstone in County Galway, I ended up in New Zealand in 2002. I travelled from Ireland to New Zealand to fish, and I spent a year in New Zealand then, and got under my skin, and I kept returning basically. So every season for I think nine or ten years. After that first visit, I came over and fished New Zealand, and then in about 2011, I decided I'd make the move more permanent, and I've been here since.
So you did go over at the start just for fishing reasons. It was pure love of fishing.
Yeah. Well, for the love of fishing, I heard of New Zealand as a great fishing destination, so I came to fish. I mean, I did no research. I didn't even know when the season was open, and I just happened to arrive at the very start of the season, but I also came over to work. It was a 1 year working holiday visa that I came on the first time ever, that was how it started.
So what was the fishing like when you first arrived? Was it just literally jaw dropping? Holy shit, this is so different to what we've got back in Ireland.
It didn't take long to realize just how incredible it was and how vast it was, and how much more diverse it was than what I was used to in Ireland. I remember my first experience fishing for trout in New Zealand was actually on the Nanataha River mouth on the North Island, fishing at nighttime. So the first trout I ever caught in New Zealand was actually in the dark, and I caught three of them that night, and so that was the start. But it was great. I mean, it continued really interestingly from then on.
And so you basically got the taste of it, and you would come out kind of for a few months every year then, was it, just to fish? So would you kind of work in Ireland during the year, save up a bit of money and head over? Or?
That's exactly it. Yeah. I'd work in Ireland and then fly over to New Zealand, usually at the start of every season, but sometimes it was a bit later depending on finances. And then I just stay here basically for as long as I could. So I usually for 3 to 6 months out of every season, I'd be in New Zealand.
God, that must have been incredible though. I presume you're in your 20s then, just spending months just literally traveling around fishing.
Yeah, that was it exactly. So I'd basically arrive in around about October or November, and spend 3 to 6 months traveling around fishing every day. So I had some mates one friend in particular, Paul Arden. He was doing the same thing, so we used to kind of meet up, and we he had a vehicle, so we'd split the cost of diesel and maintenance and all that kind of stuff. And it was great. I mean, it was an incredible time fishing and just the crack that goes with it, you know.
To do that, like, you know, people are into fly fishing, fair enough, yeah, and, you know, but for most people it's part-time. The fact that you actually kind of were that obsessed with it that you would just come out and do it for months, is it a bit kind of like, is there a bit of a kind of like the surfing culture, nearly a bit of it over there like that, you know, where you're kind of traveling around camping?
There is. Yeah, there is, definitely. I mean, I didn't know anything about that when I first came out. But as a, you know, as I've come to learn over the years, there are people that, you know, there are people now doing exactly what I did. You know, and they're, some of them are young in their early 20s, but not just that, like there's a few of them in their 30s as well and getting on into their 40s and more doing the same thing. So yeah, it's a thing that happens. Certainly, I imagine it's a lot like the surfing culture. Yeah,
you grew up in Roundstone, an absolutely beautiful part of the country. And so, did you grow up with fishing near you? Was it?
Yeah, I grew up. I grew up with fishing all around me. Like the mountain lakes were good for trout, but usually quite small, like up to maybe a half a pound or a pound. And then occasionally you'd get fish up to 2 or 3 pounds on some of the lakes. But I also had the Carb very close by. And myself and my father used to fish the Carb an awful lot. In fact, my first day fly fishing was on Loch Carb with my father and my grandfather. I also spent a lot of time in Ireland working on Ballinahinch River and Loch Aina as a gilly. So Kyle Moore as well. I always knew fly fishing was for me. I remember at the very beginning fly fishing with my dad, and Dad is an incredibly focused, dedicated angler, and you know he loved taking me fishing. But when we'd be out on the water together, I was 12, and my hands used to get really cold, and you know, I'd get into a tangle, and I'd hate to ask Dad to get the tangle out, because I mean, he always would take the tangle out, but he never wanted to put his rod down to help me, because he was watching the water in front of him, and he hated to miss any little bit of that drift. I always remember that, but it was a great time.
Was lake fishing what you kind of grew up with and what you knew the best when you were growing up?
Yeah, mostly lakes. So I grew up fishing the mountain lakes and Carb and Mask and Carra. They were my mainstay of that was my main fishing. Sea trout and salmon fisheries that were local as well. I fished those.
When you think of the size of the fish in Ireland, the wild brown trout versus the size of the fish in New Zealand, was that part of the kind of the attraction and the allure in New Zealand, just the sheer difference?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, I remember, you know, my introduction to New Zealand was going out and straight away catching, you know, 3 and 4 pound trout, which were, you know, in Ireland they're really, really good, great fish, super fish, no matter, you know, on any lake in the country. And over here, they were pretty stock standard. And I love that. And then, you know, so my first year out here, I really just fished for those, which were in abundance in a lot of the rivers. And then as time went on, I got a bit more confident, and I would, you know, take on the rivers and lakes that held bigger trout, which were quite daunting at first, I have to say. You really have to get a bit of experience behind you before you, well, for me anyway, I wanted to get a bit of experience behind me before I felt comfortable going after those really, really big fish.
You might just explain to people in terms of kind of the lie of the land, maybe in terms of where the best fishing is, and maybe just gives a bit of background to it.
In every region has something great to offer. And on a very general kind of level, the North Island has more rainbows than browns, and generally more fish probably that are a little bit easier to catch. Down south, it's you have more brown trout that are bigger, usually a little bit more difficult to catch. So the South Island is just a little bit more difficult than the North Island, but probably better rewards. And then within the South Island itself, then I suppose you could say the west coast of the country would be a great place to go for just spectacular scenery. But not necessarily to go after your really, really big trout. The East Coast is good for very big fish, as is the central. The center, like around here, the central Otago is good big fish country too.
Where are you based, and where would you bring most people?
I'm based in central Otago, a town called Alexandra, and I fish within I fish all over the lower half of the South Island. So depending on what people want or what the weather's doing or what I feel like doing, I could go any direction from here, north, south, east or west.
Is there a bit of everything for people, like, you know, it's difficult fishing, you know, hard to catch fish if you're more experienced, or, you know, if somebody's a beginner, that you can take them to easier rivers? Is it you've got that kind of mix?
You do, to a certain extent. You do. I mean, if somebody you know really wants to go after a big fish, then you do need a high level of quite a high level of skill, because to catch the really big ones, it's not that they're any harder to catch necessarily than a small fish, but there are much fewer of them. So when the shot presents, you have to make that shot count, and you rarely get more than one opportunity to make the cast. So, and you know, like buck fever often kicks in, and even a good angler can just completely balk under the pressure of a big fish. But so if you're targeting big fish, you do need a high level of skill. And then everything under that, it's just sort of whatever is best on the day. More than if there was a river that was great for beginners, you know, I tend to take everybody there. I mean, you know, because that's going to be good fishing and good fun. And at the end of the day, that's what people want. But it's not quite as simple as that.
And is it mainly sight fishing?
Yes. Mostly sight fishing, but you have to be able to blind fish. You know, you have to be able to read the water and know if you can't see a fish in a certain little gutter or a run. Sometimes it just screams fish. So, you know, you have to run your fly through it. It's mostly sight fishing, but I'd never walk past a piece of water that looked great if I couldn't see a fish in it. You know, you'll pick up a lot of fish on the blind.
Does it take a bit of getting used to, actually? I'm just thinking, you know, if you've got anglers, say from Ireland, where, you know, that aren't used to that kind of sight fishing, that it nearly, like you said, it ups the ante, that if you feel the pressure a bit more, that if you are actually fishing to fish that you can see like that, and you can see it's a decent size.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it does. People do get a bit nervous about it at first, but the excitement of just being able to see the fish sort of people get over it pretty quick and just see the fun side of it. You know, to actually have a target to cast at rather than just repetitively casting and covering water. It really adds an amazing dynamic to fly fishing. That I didn't have in Ireland. I mean, I never once sight fished a trout in Ireland.
Would you still enjoy fishing in Ireland, although it's different?
Oh God, yeah. Don't get me wrong at all. I absolutely adore Ireland. I love fishing back home. I mean, even when I come home, I get home every year, and I'll still go back to Ryan's Lake where I started fishing, and I'll still get pretty excited about catching, you know, four fish to the pound. You know, and if you catch one fish, catch a 10-inch fish on that lake, you know, that's like catching an 8-pound brown over here. And you know, the size of the fish is always very relative to where you are. I still love Ireland. I mean, Lough Aina is still one of my favorite lakes to fish anywhere in the world. Like, so it's still very, very, very close.
So Ronan, you might just tell me, what's the fly fishing pressure like over there in New Zealand?
The New Zealand fishery is not a numbers fishery. It's about small numbers of quality fish. So you're walking up a river, you're sight fishing, or even if you're blind fishing, one angler can effectively cover all of the water. So if you're coming up behind somebody, the water is already fished, and the fish that are there have already been fished over, and they're not going to take another fly. So the pressure aspect, it's really important that you've got a fresh piece of water, and ideally a piece of water that hasn't been fished for a few days. And like I said, it's getting harder to find that, but it's still possible.
So is it a case of a lot of hiking, or kind of you're really kind of trying to find those spots?
Yeah, hiking helps. But it's more about knowing a lot of accesses to a lot of rivers. I think that's the key. And the longer I've been here, the more I'm the more I'm learning about, you know, the amount you need to, as a fishing guide or as a just a person who loves to fish, to be successful at it, you need to have a shitload of locations to fish. You need to have just a lot of places to go. And the more places you have to go, then the more chance you have of being able to avoid other anglers.
And what's the access like? Is it private? Is it public? How does that work over there?
Most of the rivers in New Zealand have something that's known as the Queen's Chain on it. And what that is basically that's 22 yards on either bank that's public access. So in other words, anybody can walk the banks, but you have to be able to get to the bank via a public road, like a bridge or if a farmer allows you to access the river through his land, you can obviously access it through his land. But then once you're on the river, you can walk to your heart's content up the river.
It's a bit like America, I suppose, actually, isn't it? So it's get like the access to the river might be for public use, but it, like you said, it's actually getting onto the river itself is the issue. Like,
yeah, I mean, like the Queen's Chain allows people to fish both banks of the river freely. And access is generally easy. I mean, farmers are generally very good about giving access if you ask them. And quite often they have Fish and Game, the organization over here that looks after the fisheries. They'll often speak with the farmers and set up permanent angler's access points through private properties. So access to the rivers is actually very, very good over here. Some of it is very publicly known and some of it is less publicly known, but there's a lot of public access that people don't realize are actually public accesses. And I think that's kind of the you need to, the more of those kinds of places, you know, the better to keep the pressure at bay, you know.
Are there private fisheries as well?
Yeah, it's all public. And I mean, you know, that is 99% of the 99% good. But then the only downside is you might make a huge effort to get to a piece of water. You know, you might walk for a couple of days to get somewhere. You might spend big bucks and fly in, and you can find somebody else there. And, you know, if that happens, it's you just have to go and have a chat with the person and try and share the water. But, you know, it's not ideal.
And tell me this in terms of, like, what's the kind of best size fish you got over in New Zealand?
I've had browns up to 12 pounds. I've had, I've landed eight now over 10. But to put that into perspective, that might sound like a good number, but I don't know how many days I've fished here now, 2,000 to 3,000 days, I suppose. I worked it out before that if you target big fish, you'll find them. But if you're just kind of generally fishing for everything across the board, it takes about 300 days to catch a double figure fish. Yeah, that's around about how it works.
Yeah. You got to. Yeah, but the average is 3-4 pounds, is it?
Yeah. The average is 3 to 4 pounds. Yeah.
Very nice. And in terms of, you said in terms of targeting the larger fish, how do you go about doing that?
It's more about location. Like if you want to target big fish, you have to fish rivers where big fish exist. Like there's one of those rivers here. Generally speaking, in a day on it, I tried to cover about 8 kilometers of river, and in that 8 kilometers, I'd expect to see between 4 and 8 fish. So, you know, so basically one fish or half a fish per kilometer.
That's all that would be that you're seeing. Like, is there a lot more, or is just that's what
there's you're... not a lot. There will be more fish there, but not a lot more. In fact, I think there was one day I fished that section where I believe every single fish in the river was out feeding that day. It was incredible. And that day in that 8 kilometer section, I saw about 20 to 25 fish. So I reckon that's about the absolute limit of what's actually in it. But on any given day, you'll see, yeah, maybe 4 to 8. And then when you do get the opportunity, you have to put the fly in the right place. Or like quite often you find a fish, but he's impossible to catch simply because of where he is. You know, he's under a tree or under a log or under a cut bank or something.
So with so few fish there, you got to be a better angler, you know, in terms of being able to take your chances and know what you're doing.
Yeah, you do. You do. Well, again, the key is, yeah, you do. You have to be able to make the cast. It's casting. New Zealand fishing is casting oriented. If you're a good, accurate caster, you'll do well over here. If you don't cast well, you'll struggle. You know, you'll mess up your chances. And that's what it is. So when I'm walking up that river, it's all about sight fishing. So you also have to be able to see the fish, and that's the other skill involved. It's not just about being able to make the cast. You have to be able to see the fish. And in fact, I remember that learning curve when I first came to New Zealand. I couldn't see the fish, and I remember my friend took me out he hired a guide, and he took me out with him for the day. And his name was Bunny Burgess. He was a guide out of Gore, and he took myself and my friend Bob out. And he kept pointing out these fish to me, and I couldn't see them. He'd say, just there beside that white rock. And I'd look beside the white rock. I wouldn't see a thing. But time after time, I'd make my cast. The fly would drift over the white rock. Down would go the dry, and I'm into a fish. And I started thinking, he can't see these fish. He just knows they're there. And then I was thinking, no, don't be ridiculous. He can see them. And at the end of the day, anyway, I realized what I had to be able to do to succeed in New Zealand. So that was a really, really good learning day. I mean, he didn't just teach me an awful lot about the tactics required on most rivers, but he taught me about how to read water, how to see fish. And that was where I really started. I remember that was where I really started to improve on the New Zealand fishery.
Is it dry dropper that you use mainly, or what?
Yeah, mostly a dry fly with a nymph under it. Yep.
And what did they take most of the time?
Mostly the nymph.
Is there much dry during fly the summer fishing? And
oh, there is. There's heaps of dry fly fishing. Yeah, but I'm a great believer in the nymph. It takes a lot for me to take the nymph off, because personally, I don't care what they eat. Like a lot of people are, they really want to see the head come out and take the dry. But for me, it's just I look at the fish and I just watch what the fish is doing. And if the fish is, if I see a fish taking a dry, but then making, you know, 7 or 8 swings left and right taking nymphs, well, I'm not going to just put a dry on. I'll have my dry and my nymph, because he's nymphing more than he is taking off the top. So that's the method I'll use. You know, it's not at all complicated. I mean, the New Zealand fishery is, it's, the fly doesn't matter a damn. You could take a terrible fly, very well presented, is more likely to catch a fish, than a beautiful fly badly presented.
Why are the fish so much bigger over New Zealand, Ron?
I don't know. I really don't know. I've been asked this question, and I've thought about it myself. And one theory I heard was that we have a longer growing season over here. So I guess milder conditions leads to the fish being able to feed for longer. But I think the other reason is it's quite possibly it's down to the low numbers of fish. That they're not competing for food so much, as in, you know, like a lot of the Irish rivers are, you know, they're really loaded with small trout, whereas over here you don't see those small fish very often. And I don't know why that is. I mean, some of these rivers are just glorious. You would imagine you'd think that every little gutter and run will have, you know, heaps of 1/2 to 3/4 pound trout, but they just don't. And why, I have no idea.
So you went full time then in New Zealand in 2011. Is that what you kind of made the decision? Well, look, you're spending enough time over there. The fishing was good enough. You decided to have a go at it.
Yeah. I just decided. I decided I'd move out to New Zealand. I think it was always in the back of my mind that I'd become a guide. That I would. You know, it seemed like a good place to. It seemed like a good thing to do. But at the same time, it wasn't a goal that I had laid out for myself that has to happen. So, I mean, even when I moved to New Zealand in 2011, I started working as a joiner, and I worked as a joiner for 4 years. And then when I got my residency, that's when I set up the guiding business. And it went from there, really. Yeah.
And how has it been in terms of the guiding business? How, like, is it a case of just trying to get your name out there, obviously writing a blog, doing some kind of TV stuff, that kind of stuff, just to kind of...
Well, yeah, I guess more than anything, it's word of mouth. Like, I really don't I don't think much work came from the little bit of TV stuff we did over here, or the blog certainly does generate some interest. But the most thing that gets work is fellas come over, have a great time, and they go and tell their friends, and they come over and they have a great time, and they tell their friends, and then your name gets out pretty quick. So like it my first season was pretty good, and then every other season has been choco since, like really full. So I kind of hit the ground running. Now it wasn't entirely my own doing. Like I had a lot of great friends in the industry, and they were happy to help me out, and happy to send me quite a lot of referrals. The local guides were key to being successful in starting up. You know, I have a lot to thank them for.
And I know, because I've seen on your website, ronansflyfishingmissions.com, the pictures look just incredible. I can imagine, you know, for anyone contemplating, when you see the pictures, it's mouth-watering. Like,
I still get really excited about it. I mean, the other day when I had my first day's fishing in a month, and I got to the river, I was nearly running down the river to walk downstream to fish back to the truck. And I was quite honestly almost at a jog, because I just couldn't wait to get at the water, you know. So I mean, I still have that mad enthusiasm for the fishery and for the fishing. It's because it's so much fun. It's an incredibly exciting, exhilarating fishery. I mean, I just love it. I mean, my father's been out with me a few times. Not a few times. He's been out with me about 10 times now. I mean, he's kind of similar to me. I mean, I don't think he's lost one ounce of enthusiasm in all his years of fishing. And he came out in 2004, I think, the first time. And when he was going home, he said, "I think that now might be my last visit." And I said, "Why on earth would it be your last visit?" "Oh, you know," he said, "you know, finances or whatever." And I said, "Harry, don't be daft," I said. And anyway, so the next year he was out again, and a couple of years later he was out again, and now it's just an ongoing thing. It gets under your skin. I mean, it's an amazing fishery.
Yeah, well, I suppose more Irish people should try it, and like you said, it'll get under your skin, and you'll come back. Ronan, yeah, before I let you go, just tell me about the lockdown. How you got, like, New Zealand were one of the earliest ones really to kind of go into lockdown and take the medicine, I suppose, take the quick hit of it. And it seems to have worked out, fingers crossed, for you guys. Tell us a bit about it.
I mean, yeah, the lockdown happened fairly quickly. I think we went into lockdown at less than 300 cases. And now we're getting, I think, less than 2 cases a day, or two or three or five cases a day, something like that. But it looks like we might, like the South Island hasn't had a case for 6 or 7 days, I think. So it looks like we're on the right track, but unfortunately for me as a guide, there's no tourists coming over, and just about none of my work is domestic. So basically my business has shut down, but the lockdown itself is proving, I suppose, pretty successful.
So how much of your business did you lose from the season? Was it about 6 weeks?
About 25%.
Right. Okay.
Of my season.
So, because a bit more. What's the season run from in New Zealand?
The season starts at the beginning of October and runs to the end of April. But my October this year, for some reason, was very quiet. So I had a slow start, and then this end of the season wasn't so great.
What do you do in the off season then?
I do a bit of work for a landscaping company sometimes, I make a bit of furniture for the house. So I have a little workshop beside the house. So I'm always in there making something, but basically that's it. Kind of hobby woodworking and a little bit of landscaping for a few coins.
And would you go out fishing yourself in the off season, or do you kind of like to?
No. I'll fish. I'll fish at least once, twice, three times a week.
You can't help it.
No.
Well, listen, continued success, Ronan, for your guiding career in New Zealand and for making such a success with it. So if people want to find out more, it's ronansflyfishingmissions.com is the website to get in touch. And like I said, if you go in the gallery, the fish, it's just, it's a different game altogether than what we're used to.
Thanks for putting that out there. Hopefully somebody will get in touch.
My thanks to Ronan Crean for joining me on the show, and do check out Ronan's website at ronansflyfishingmissions.com for some incredible fish that he's caught. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date on IrelandOnTheFly.com as well as on Instagram at IrelandOnTheFly. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back next week with another episode covering the people and places of fly fishing in Ireland. Mayfly time is the pinnacle for most brown trout anglers, and we're pleased to announce our next Ireland on the Fly Masterclass is focusing on mayfly tactics with international angler, guide and renowned fly tyer Jackie Mann.
On Thursday the 25th of April at 8 p.m, Jackie will be discussing how to make the most of the conditions, the best flies and methods to use, as well as giving his tips and insights from a lifetime of experience.
So, to join us for this masterclass on Thursday 25th of April, just go to www.irelandonthefly.com/masterclass. Tickets cost €10 and all attendees will get a copy of Jackie's notes as well as access to the recording of the webinar afterwards.
And stay tuned for our masterclasses throughout 2024, covering salmon, rivers, lochs, streamers, lures, dries, everything to make you a better salmon or trout fly angler, helping you to catch more this year and to learn from the best. For more information, email us on info@irelandonthefly.com.